In today's episode, Matt Gleb is back, and I'm really excited for what we're going to talk about. My name is Luke Clayton, and welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. Welcome, or hey, maybe welcome back to the Must Increase Podcast. And before we get started, I always want to take a moment to remind you to subscribe wherever you might be listening to your podcast, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and Matt Gleb, where do you typically listen to podcasts? Like, what is your podcast app of choice, if you will?
It's a little purple app called Podcasts on the iPhone. That's the only
okay.
thing I use.
Yeah. Yeah, you just go with the default then.
Yeah, constantly downloading and then deleting episodes. My phone just keeps downloading them for me. But I need that need that space. So we're deleting often. Sorry, yeah. Idea Day and Nick Skelly. And Must Increase.
Well, hey, you just called us out, so that's all right. Yeah, I've actually recommended it before. I do on the podcast, so I won't spend too much time, but I use Overcast. That's my podcast listener. I really like it. Kind of gives you playlists and all this stuff. I think I've talked about it on this podcast before. Anyways, well, speaking of which, that leads us right into first of all, Matt, it's good to have you back. Welcome back. It's an official. This is going to be your third episode here on the podcast, I believe. So welcome back. Has much changed, you know, since we last talked here a few weeks ago?
In my life?
Yes.
Yeah.
In your life.
Sold, bought a new truck, bought a new house, and I got a new MacBook. You can't tell, but wow, this computer's sweet.
Yeah.
So I'm having a midlife crisis, and I got 4 tattoos. No, I don't have any tattoos.
Well, audio listeners wouldn't know any better. If you're watching on video, you'd know.
Do you like that one?
If you're, yeah. Oh man, that's sweet. Well, hey, it's good to. It is good to have you back. And now we are going to move into our first segment of stuff we like. And we have, inspired by you, featuring you, an all-new introduction to that. And so, here we go. Stuff we like.
Stuff we like.
All right. So this is stuff we like, where we simply... Yeah, it was awesome. I know it. It was your beautiful voice. So I'm just going to be honest. For those of you out there, Matt Gleb has no idea how that sounds, and he will not know until this episode is released, because he cannot hear on his end what is happening with that little stinger and all that. So, but it was his golden voice, so we know it was good. This is a segment of our podcast that we call Stuff We Like, and it is very profound in that this is where we talk about stuff that we like. Could be podcast or movies or TV shows or anything else. And so, Matt, you're going to lead the way this time, and you're going to tell us about stuff you like.
Yeah, I actually went away from books, movies, podcasts, all that right now. And just wanted to give a shout out to my sponsor, who is not my sponsor, but there's something called ZipBiz. And if any of your listeners have a habit of needing some energy drinks, I'd encourage you to check out ZipBiz. It is a healthy energy mix that you pop open, put in a 20-ounce bottle of water, make sure it's cold water. If you put it lukewarm, this is the tangiest stuff in the world, and it's nasty. But it's got the cold water. Shake that up, and you'll be really good for hours. And the stuff that I like to... Something I like to say about it is it does not give you a crash. It's just a nice... You wean off of it pretty nicely throughout the day. And it just really hydrates your body and your mind. And you just feel really good for a while.
Yeah, well, I actually have tried ZipFizz before. And yeah, I can vouch for it. It's pretty works pretty well. And I mean, I don't know, for me, the flavor I tried you had to kind of get used to the aftertaste a little bit. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's cause it's, you know, that all natural thing, but, you know, it's not like it's unbearable. It's just a little bit different, but, no, I, when I tried it, I didn't realize that it was as strong and, I guess powerful as it is. And so I drank some at like 4 or put in my water around 4 or 5 o'clock PM. And man, that stuff kept me wired for a while. Like I wasn't able to fall asleep until probably 11:30 that night. So it's the real deal. It really does work.
Yeah. 2 caveats to it. Definitely take it mid morning or at lunch. That's my 2 times. Or not an or. The other thing to make note of is I only drink fruit punch. Any other flavor out there, don't like them. Grape tastes like medicine. Mm. Orange is not good enough. I only drink the red fruit punch. Buy them off Amazon, $20 for 20 of them. You put them in your 30-cent drink, and you got a energy drink for $1, $1.50.
So. Wow, that's good math right there. Never looked at it that way. Yeah, I mean... If you get these energy drinks, these, and they're usually, you know, the kind that are not great for you. I mean, yeah, those things aren't cheap. Yeah, we will not let that garbage on this podcast.
No.
Or if you go to Starbucks or even Dunkin' Donuts nowadays, which Dunkin' Donuts used to be the coffee of the people in terms of cost, but not anymore. You know, you're going to be spending $4 minimum on a coffee. So yeah, sounds like a great deal. And yeah, that must've been the problem. I must've got the wrong flavor. I think it was grape and I wasn't crazy about, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't my favorite.
Right. Yeah. They're not awful, but fruit punch, you will not go wrong. Tastes good.
Okay. Well, good to know. That's some good stuff we like. Well, for my stuff we like, I'm going to shift gears in 2 ways. First of all, I'm going to talk about movies. But I'm actually going to put a reverse spin on this, and it's going to be stuff I don't like. 2 movies that I have seen in the past month, did not like. The first one, Black Adam with The Rock. This is the latest installment from DC. It's just not that good, if I'm honest. It's kind of, it had potential. It could have been. Like, good. Matt, did you see the movie Shazam from DC by chance?
No, I've seen bits and pieces, I think, because I remember the guy in the red costume with orange or yellow bolts.
He's got the lightning bolt in his chest, yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually didn't mind that one. Shazam, it's kind of fun, whatever, like not my favorite, but not awful. So this Black Adam is kind of he's kind of like the villain of that kind of universe or whatever. But they're introducing him as a hero. And that's become a common thing nowadays with superhero movies. You got Venom and Morbius and on the Marvel side where they give villains their own movies and they actually pitch them as anti-heroes anyways. So Black Adam, that's kind of the concept here. It had potential, but I don't know, for me, it was really messy in terms of storyline and all over the place. It kind of felt the pacing was weird. And, you know, I don't hate The Rock. I don't hate Dwayne Johnson. I think he's good in certain movies, but he is the same character in every movie. And so this was, I don't know, this was kind of his, it kind of was just like, yeah, imagine Dwayne Johnson as a superhero. Okay, boom, that's what it is. So I don't know, it's like not any outstanding performance by anybody. Anyways, not super great. The other one I saw, speaking of superheroes that weren't great, was Wakanda Forever. Not a fan in terms of, I the first one, the first Black Panther was good, pretty good. I liked that character, the actual Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, who played him. He was great in that. He was great in the other movies, the Avengers movies that he showed up in. But he is dead. Like, he literally died. That actor he died of cancer here a few years ago. And so they had to, not to give too many spoilers, but they had to continue the character and they said they weren't going to recast the character, as far as like have someone play the same T'Challa, I believe was his character name, but they wanted to carry on the Black Panther. So all that to say, there is a new Black Panther now, a completely new character plays the Black Panther, and it takes on the mantle, if you will. And I don't know, it was one of those movies. Again, I feel like it had potential, but it was kind of a letdown. Not gonna lie, a little bit more of the woke messaging going on, which has just become kind of standard for Disney nowadays. Anything under the Disney umbrella, as Marvel is. All that aside, it just again wasn't great, and that has been unfortunately the case for Marvel ever since Avengers Endgame, with the exception of Spider-Man No Way Home. All the other movies that Marvel has put out in the past couple years has been really just not worth watching, in my opinion, or definitely not worth rewatching. I don't know, Matt, do you keep up with the Marvel or any of these franchises like that?
I have not watched either of those movies you mentioned. I watched some of the TV shows, like WandaVision. I loved, although it was very slow, but it was fun. But yeah, I haven't, the other movies, I can't even think of them. Like She-Hulk, I didn't like. It was very, very boring.
She-Hulk was no good.
We didn't even finish watching like two episodes. And then the other show, the one where like dude has different personalities, was that Marvel? Or he falls asleep?
I'm trying to remember. He would fall asleep. Different parts. Oh wait, are you talking about Split?
Is that it?
Yeah, that's like M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, that's what I'm remembering. He's got like all these different personalities. He's not really a superhero though.
Okay.
So
that was
anyways.
On Disney Plus, well, though, right?
I don't remember. And yeah, now I have no idea what you're talking about. So, yep. and when we talk about the series though, yeah, WandaVision was pretty good. I didn't hate the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I didn't hate it, but it was just kind of bland. Loki's actually my favorite. Loki was really good.
Yeah.
Loki and Spider-Man No Way Home have been the two standouts for as far as the Marvel titles and properties since Avengers Endgame. So anyways, all that to say, I do not recommend Black Adam or Wakanda Forever. Definitely don't take the time to go see them in the theater. I feel like that's a waste of a trip. That's my two cents. Matt, any other thoughts before we move on to our next segment?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, our next segment is we do not have a intro for this as of yet, but it's where we simply take questions and we provide our answers to the best of our ability. And if you do have any questions for us that you would like us to potentially address on a future episode, then send us a text to 615-900-4461. That's 615-900-4461, and send us your text and we just might answer it on episode. One question today that I wanted to address, it's in regards probably more to, it is actually in regards to church media. And the question is this: do I, as a pastor or as a church, need a blog? And this is something that I do hear about all pretty commonly. It's becoming less of a common kind of, it's not as cool as it used to be. Blogging used to be all the rage before social media kind of became the dominant place to be on the internet. But blogging is still out there. There's a lot of, you know, famous, if you will, blog authors. Just about any thought leader out there, I guess, if you will, has some form. They are still doing blogging. And I think of, we've talked about Kerry Newhoff before. He does a good bit of blog content. He's very big into writing. And there's others as well. And so there was a time there when it was, like I said, before social media was really catching on, where a lot of pastors would feel the need to blog. Now, from a perspective of content? Like, is it necessary for me to, because keeping up with a blog is, you've got to develop content. So from a content perspective of, okay, do I need this actual content in terms of, will it provide a lot of value to potential readers? Maybe. That's really up to you and your specific, I guess, church, if you're a pastor. Like, if you have a church that you believe would follow along with blog content and you think that, you know, they're, whatever reason, they're you think they're going to read it, great. But you have to remember this. If you're going to do it, first of all, you have to commit to it. One of the most common things I've seen, whether it's blogging or podcasting or starting a YouTube channel, is someone who says, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And they put out like 1, 2, 3 pieces of content and they're done. Because it is a lot of upkeep. It's a lot to keep up with your content. So I always say, couple of things. If you're going to do a blog or any type of content for that matter, like I said, podcast, YouTube, always number one, have a realistic release schedule. A lot of people say, I'm going to do a blog every week, or I'm going to do a podcast episode every week, or a YouTube video every week. That, I'll be honest, that's a little ambitious, especially if you're just starting. I have, worked my way up to that. Like, we do a weekly podcast episode, but it takes a while to get there because you're going to realize really quick it's a lot of work to keep up with. So I would say have a realistic schedule. I always tell people don't feel like a month is too infrequent. I think that's actually a really good starting point for any type of blog or content. So maybe you say once a month, and then I always say do your batch, like batch create your content. So for example, instead of sitting down every month, or maybe you do try to do every week or every other week and write it in real time, batch create that content. So in other words, hey, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write 1,500 words worth of content that I'm going to release over the next 3 months. Well, that's 500 words a month. But write it all at once, or record the content of the episode all at once. I don't hide this from our listeners. We've talked about before. We tend to batch record our podcast episodes. Matt and I are recording right now. We'll get 2 or 3 episodes recorded here, and then we'll release them over the course of the next, 2 or 3 weeks. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's the only way, the realistic way that you can expect to really keep up with it. So that is my thoughts on blogging in terms of content development. The only reason you might want to consider doing blogs specifically, why they might still be relevant, is they do help your SEO when it comes to Google and search engines, because it shows the search engines that you are consistently updating your website. So if you're putting a new blog post on your church's website or your personal website, if you're a pastor or even somebody out there who's in business, it will show Google in this case, or Bing or any of those other smaller search engines that, hey, they actually are updating their website. In this case, if you're on a monthly release schedule, once a month. And it also, the content that you talk about, you want to make sure it's relevant. For example, if you're a church, you want to make sure it's relevant to church and faith and the Bible and beliefs and things like that, because then it's going to help certain topics and keywords get people connected to your website. So that is my 2 cents on blogging. Matt, I don't know if you have anything to add here. I know you're, an avid writer, and so you probably have a lot of thoughts to share here.
Yeah, thanks for that, Luke. Thanks finally for this time to speak about it. That's about all I got. Yeah, thank you so much. It was good to hear your points on that, and it makes complete sense to me. But yeah, I'm not into writing for fun right now, and don't have enough to say for myself for a podcast right now, so I just lean on other people.
Yeah. Well, hey, I would love to get into the mind of Matt Gleb at some point with some blogging. I mean, I'd read it. I'd check it out. Actually, I will throw this out there for those out there who are wondering, hey, how could I start a blog or start putting written content out? So many pastors, it's amazing how there's this disconnect, but it's actually really simple when you finally kind of connect the dots here. Pastors, or even youth pastors such as yourself, Matt, are producing, if you will, content every week. So in other words, you're producing a sermon and teaching a sermon, preaching a sermon to your church, to your youth group, whatever, at least once a week. And so I always say, and most in the case, especially like a pastor with like a church, most of the time you have the capabilities to record at least the audio of that sermon. And so I always say, consider taking, you know, a sermon that you've done and getting it transcribed and then developing written content from that. Yeah, it still takes a little bit of effort and work, but your content is already there. Churches have no excuse when it comes to a shortage of content. They can't say, I don't have content to publish. No, you do. You have, depending on how long you've been doing it, how many times you're preaching a week. I mean, after a year and you're preaching once a week and taking a couple of vacation weeks, well, you're going to have 50 sermons that you've ideally recorded and you can pull content from. And so a lot of pastors, in fact, any mega church pastor that you know of that's putting out books regularly, you know, maybe once every year or two, almost all of them are based off of sermons or sermon series that they've preached. They've taken that content, they've transcribed it, and they've reworked it to be more readable. And so that's my two cents there as well on if you're looking to do, if you are looking to start doing blog content or written content, or even like I said, a book or something like that, well, you could always consider pulling from the content that you've already developed, produced, recorded as sermons. So, well, Matt, that leads us into kind of a topic for today, which at this point, I think we're just going to begin and maybe continue in a future episode. We'll see how far we get. But Matt, as we were saying, you are a youth pastor. So you've been working with, you know, teenagers for how many years? Again, you've told us before, how many years have you been the youth pastor and been working with teens there?
4 to 5 years. For a while, I was the interim youth pastor as we're praying for a youth pastor. And so finally just stepped in that role myself. So yeah, around 4 to 5 years.
Okay. So in your experience working with young people, I was for a few years, I taught in a Christian school. And so that was about 4 years, and I worked with junior high, senior high. And so that's my experience with, you know, I guess teenagers and young people, student age in particular. Obviously one of the things that, I guess kind of that generation gets kind of criticized for is the excessive use of screens and phones and I guess technology in general. But before we pick on them too much, although we might use them as maybe our illustrations for some of the content we're going to discuss today, something we need to understand is that the screen addiction is really a generational phenomenon across all people, all ages. I remember I was sitting at a restaurant the other day and I looked at another table and it was an older couple, like in their 60s, maybe their 70s. And they, instead of talking to each other, each had their iPhone out and were on it. And that's not uncommon to see. In fact, next time you are in a public setting, particularly somewhere like an airport or a waiting room, look around and if you see somebody without their phone, that has become weird. And so this is a phenomenon across everybody, all ages and everything like that. But we wanted to kind of start to introduce this concept of some of the trends maybe that we're noticing, problems that we see, and then maybe give some feedback and some thoughts on what we can do about it. So Matt, first of all, as you work with your, you know, teenagers there and young people, how, I don't know, for you, how rampant is the problem of screen addiction?
Yeah, we have several teens who are on it as much as I'd let them to be, up in the youth room, at least. When we say we come in the youth room, we have a lot of games that they can play, a lot of things they can do. I do that on purpose, so they'll interact with each other. You know, they can play pool together, they can play ping pong together, foosball, darts, sit on the couches. We got card games and stuff up there. You know, so all those things are on purpose, so they will socialize, so they will have a good time with each other. So I have a couple guys that I'm thinking of who will come up, and we have a service area where everyone sits down while I teach and while we talk through passages together, where they'll just go down there while everyone else is playing games up on the upper level. They'll just go down there and watch YouTube videos. And yeah, most of the stuff they watch they wouldn't mind if I was sitting right there watching it with them. You know, it's not like it's bad, but it is just addicting to them. Like, as soon as school's out, they're walking up the steps to the youth room, which is what I'll be doing in about an hour. And they're already looking on their phones, putting their stuff down, and sitting in the back row, not while I'm preaching, but just on their phones the whole time. And I don't believe it's just a coincidence, but those guys are also the least happy. You know, they're always to themselves. They doesn't seem like they're laughing or having fun. They're just watching something, and they're just allowing their minds to shut off. And as you said just a second ago, we're not picking on them, because at the end of the day, I want to veg. I don't want to have to think. I just want to be able to sit down for a while and relax, watch some stupid videos, or in particular, love watching a TV series with my wife or a movie or something like that. That's a great way that we just, not that we're spending time with each other, but we could sit next to each other and, you know, hold hands while we watch a show and then chat afterwards. But it's just an easy way for both of us to do that. And, but it does, I feel like, parallel to, you have to be entertained all the time or you're just not having a good time. And I don't know if we're going to get into this or not. Oh, do you want to say anything before I say this next chunk, which is.
No. You keep on going. You're good here.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking of is, as you brought up this topic, was, we go to camp every year. And our school also does a school retreat. And if we go to the camp at the Wilds, and if we go on this school retreat, neither of those places are the kids allowed to take their phones. So they can carry them on the bus, and they could, you know, look at them on the way up and on the way back. But while they're there, they cannot have their phones. And it is amazing how good of a time everyone seems to have, even the guys who are addicted, even the guys who don't seem happy or connected with everyone. Everybody connects with somebody. And both of those places are on purpose spiritual things, so kids can grow in their spiritual lives. But it just happens by leaps and bounds when you take the entertainment out of it. When you take TV, movies, music, reels, YouTube, whatever, take it out of their lives for a couple of days, even just 2 days. It's amazing the leaps and bounds they grow. My thoughts to parents is, there is really, I don't see that much. I have one student whose parents did put a time limit on how much time they spent on their phone each day, but I really have not seen that. You know, those capabilities are out there, and we talk about them and how, oh, it's a good thing, but we don't use them, and the kids are really, really just doing what they're allowed to do. And it's that screen time is taking over, you know, and I think the math is correct. You know, when you get your weekly report of how many hours you spend on your phone each week, and for me, just minutes, that's not true, but for the hours you spend on your phone, that's that many, I think it is months out of the year or something like that, because half of our time during the day is driving, sleeping, eating, whatever. So we probably have about 12 hours a day that we're awake to do things. And so you take those, you know, if you spent 5 hours on your phone, you're 5 months out of the year on your phone, and so on. However many hours you've been on your phone, that's crazy to think about. And it's one thing for us who we did not grow up with a phone in our hands until maybe our teenage, you know, 17, 18 or something like that. I had my first prepaid phone when I was 15. And
I was about the same time I got a phone.
Yeah, you know, but we kind of got more into the phone age when we're quote unquote an adult. These kids are starting when some of them, we have kids in our school here, 6 years old, who have iPhones, you know, and that's just their life. I can imagine how it's going to kill their social skills and fill them with knowledge that is just unnecessary. You know, we're really starting to see that come full circle with this generation that's becoming adults right now, or, you know, they're in their mid 20s. We're seeing what a whole lifetime of phone can do. And it's disappointing. And any parents listening, we need to do something about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the stat, and I've cited it on here before, is that the average screen time for a young person 8 to 18 in that time range of their waking hours is 7.5 hours a day. That's the average. Couple things to consider. When I pulled that stat, because I pulled up something I had that there. When I pulled that stat, that is something that I believe was recorded pre-pandemic, so before 2020. So we know it's higher now. And it also is not considering anything that might be done in terms of productivity. So it doesn't count, for example, if a student is using a computer or a tablet to get homework done or you know, have Zoom school or whatever. It's literally watching shows, watching YouTube, scrolling on social media, and 7.5 hours a day. That is, I mean, really, if you, like you said, if a student in particular, or you could apply it to an adult as well, if you spend 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours sleeping, 7 to 8 hours in school or at work, then of a 24-hour day, you've got 7 to 8 hours left. And by this stat, they're basically using all of them on average. They are using almost every spare minute they have on a screen. And if that seems, oh, no way, there's no way that's true, think about it. I can see how that's completely true just from, admittedly, my own, if I don't watch it, how I can find myself, you know, constantly, you know, with screen, whatever, phone in hand. And so, yeah, it definitely is a problem. Like I said, someone like you, you see it more in the lives of, you know, those who would be, you know, under 18, but it's happening in all age groups. And like I said, it's not even isolated to just the young generation. Like you said, you and my generation, we'd be considered in the millennial crowd. Thus those in that generation and older, we, you know, lived life, if you will, without smartphones until we were probably in our late teens, you know, early 20s. Then we started to adapt the smartphones and everything. But these kids, Gen Z, if you will, and younger, they're almost essentially born with it in their hand. And so that is, we're starting to see some of the social effects of that and everything. And I've kind of noticed, and this is kind of where we'll maybe continue this thought in the next episode, but I've noticed that there's kind of three kind of levels of how this kind of can proceed in terms of how it can start to eat away at your character, your quality of life, however you want to put it. Of course, first of all, there's distraction. And so that's where it's just a distraction to you. You know, hey, okay, for example, hey, my phone buzzed because I got an Instagram notification. Okay, that's a distraction. And I get on my phone and I spend 5 minutes, whatever, scrolling. Oh, man, I just got distracted. Okay, well, then you, unfortunately, the next deeper level of that is now detraction. So it starts to detract and not just distract. Now, this is like a quick little, oh, what's that over there? No, it starts to detract from other things. So if you're a teenager, like you said, when you could be having true social connection with people, you know, having actual talking, no, you're choosing to sit down and watch YouTube with all of your free time. It's taking away from, you know, the better things that you could be doing with your time. And then unfortunately, it sounds super, it could sound a little bit extreme, but the next level deeper is true destruction. I mean, you get so addicted to whatever it is. You're not just distracted and you're not just detracted in that it's taking away some of your time and energy from what matters most. Now you're truly getting destructed and destroyed to some extent by this. It's eating away, like you said, Matt, at maybe your social skills. God forbid you start to get exposed, if you will, to the dark side of screens and the internet and all of the, you know, pornography and other things out there. I mean, that can really destroy someone's mental health and emotional health and all of that stuff. And so those are kind of those three stages. But we're unfortunately going to have to leave it there on kind of a bad note. But I think next time we can pick it up there and talk about, and you already started to allude to some of this, Matt, but what can be done? You talked about those restrictions that are built right into the iPhone that parents can take advantage of, not just for their kids and their teens, but for themselves. And so I think that'd be a great place to kind of pick it up next time. But before we go here, Matt, do you have any parting thoughts, final words before we sign off of this episode in particular?
Yeah, as you're talking, I got four things to talk about next time, but probably just a Boom. Convicting thought as for your listeners. I'll throw one of them out there, so I'll have three. But just coming home and spending time with my family, and as I'm sitting there on the floor having fun with my son, I find myself looking at my phone, either texting, looking at a video or something, and he has gotten to a point where he'll walk up to me and grab my phone and say, all done. And it was so cute the first time I did it, but I mean, it was very quickly followed up with, man, this is what my son sees. This is what he thinks his dad does. When we play, I'm also doing something else. And it's, am I showing him that he's not important enough that I can't look at him and play with him for a little bit of time at the end of my day? Is this something that he thinks I have to do? It's just very, very convicting for me for him to grab my phone and just say, all done. And sometimes that's, I heard someone say, when you get home at the end of the day, just take a deep breath in your mind, go in. Your wife has had a hard day. Who knows what your kids have gone through, and be ready to reset and be a dad. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you're exhausted. You'll have time to rest later, but on purpose, be a parent, be a husband, and spend some quality, real quality time with your family. And don't look like in the middle of a conversation that our kid has to tell us we need to be all done so we can concentrate on them for a little bit.
Yeah. And I've found myself in similar situations with my daughter where, you know, yeah, she'll say something to the effect of, hey, put your phone down, put your iPad down. And I think, unfortunately, in the world we live in, a lot of parents have kind of experienced that before. And so, yeah, that's where we'll pick it up next time. And of course, if you want to connect with Matt, we're going to include contact information for Matt in the show notes or description. And so check it out there. And again, I want to remind you, make sure that you are subscribed wherever you're listening to podcast. Or we're also on YouTube. And remember, if you've got any questions out there, then feel free to shoot those over to 615-900-4461. That's 615-900-4461, and we might answer one of your questions on a future episode. And thanks so much for joining us here, where our mission is to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others, right here on the Must Increase Podcast.